Welcome to the Rooflines Podcast, produced by Virginia Realtors, where we serve up real talk about real estate in Virginia. On each episode, we break down trends in the housing market and help you make sense of what's going on in Virginia's real estate industry and what's on the horizon.
We're excited to dive into today's interview. But first, we want to let you know that today actually marks the final episode of the Rooflines Podcast. We've had such a fun time bringing you market insights through this format. But don't worry, because we're not going anywhere. You can continue to hear from our team through our quarterly By the Numbers webinars, on social media, and of course, via the research and statistic page on the Virginia Realtors website, where we provide an array of valuable reports, articles, and data. And if you're really going to miss us, come see us in person at the Virginia Realtors Annual Convention. It's happening September 16th through 18th at the downtown Richmond Marriott. In today's episode, we have a special guest with us, Dawson Boyer with Providence Hill Real Estate. Dawson is a Richmond native and top real estate agent in the Richmond region who has helped over 500 buyers and sellers achieve their real estate goals. He's dedicated to ensuring that his clients are educated about the process so that they have a fun and enjoyable experience. Dawson's success can be attributed to his vast knowledge of Richmond real estate, his negotiating skills, and commitment to the best interests of his clients. Hi, Dawson. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good, good. Thank you so much for being here today, for being on our podcast. So before we get started about Richmond's real estate market, we just want to get to know a little more about you. So firstly, what motivated you to get into the real estate industry? Can you tell us a little bit about how you got started?
Definitely. Yeah. Thanks for having me on today. And happy to share a little bit about my story. I'm a Richmond native, and you know, I was graduating college in 2008, and not really sure why, because no one in my family was in real estate, but just homes and houses and construction always interested me. So the housing market had just collapsed in 2008, unfortunately. So after college, I went and worked in corporate America for a couple of years. But after doing that, still kind of had this desire or just kept thinking about, you know, real estate. So in 2010, I decided to, you know, take the leap and get my real estate license and get involved.
Great. I can imagine graduating around that time must have been rough, but I'm glad you found your way to real estate. So just through your experience being a realtor, what are some important lessons you have learned along the way? And could you tell us a little bit about what made you realize their importance?
Right. So I think some of the things, and it's probably like anything in life, one of the most important things is just being consistent. In our industry, there's a lot of turnover. There's a lot of people who become a realtor for a year or two, and then either they don't like it, or it's a hard industry to make it in. Easy to get in, but hard to stay is kind of how the saying goes. But so having a plan, for one, having a business plan, and knowing what your goal is, and then having a plan for how you're going to get to your goal is something that, unfortunately, a lot of realtors or a lot of people don't do. And I think that's why the turnover rate's so high in our industry. And then once you have that plan, being consistent with the tasks and the strategies you set forth in order to try to achieve your goals. And that's really what I saw early on, was coming up with this plan, taking risks. And even though sometimes they failed, going back and reviewing why they failed, but being consistent in those efforts.
That's really great story. Honestly, very important at this pivotal time that we are in the housing market right now. Mm-hmm. So sort of focusing our attention, shifting our attention to the current market. What are some barriers to entry that potential homebuyers today are facing in your local market specifically?
Yeah, so I serve pretty much all of Central Virginia. And, you know, it's interesting how it doesn't matter if you're, you know, kind of in, you know, the Libby and Grove area, which is a super popular market, or you're out in Powhatan, it seems that multiple offers are everywhere. So some of the barriers of entry, you know, on a macro level, I think, are the interest rates, but also the just lack of inventory. So if you're a buyer, you more than likely are going to be competing against other buyers to try to buy a house. And they're just, you know, compared to, you know, 2015, 16 and 2017, there just aren't a lot of houses coming on the market. So I think a big thing that I try to educate my buyers with is expectations of, you know, you may want to start your search today, but there may not be a house you want to see for 4, 6, 8 weeks. So in that, I always tell people, like, the best thing you can do for yourself if you're a buyer or a seller, but, you know, as a buyer in this market, is, you know, start the process earlier than you think you need to. So you can get a better feel for the market. And then that also in turn helps it, you know, be less stressful. It's more fun and it's just a better overall experience.
That's very fair. You're right. Supply constraints are certainly an issue in Central Virginia, Richmond market, but also across Virginia. Moving on, I want to ask you, what do you think makes Richmond's market unique? Richmond, Central Virginia's market unique?
Yeah, I think Richmond's unique market for a handful of reasons. One is just geographically, you know, during COVID, we saw a lot of people move here from Northern Virginia, New England, California, even Atlanta, Georgia. We saw a lot of people. And I think it's because Richmond is located right in the middle of the East Coast, north to south. And although our airport's small, it's an international airport, or it's not a far drive up to Dulles. Mm-hmm. So from a work and travel standpoint, Richmond's strategically located. And then also just geographically, as it relates to, you know, Virginia Beach is 1.5, 2 hours away. The mountains are 1.5 hours away. Like I said, DC's, you know, depending on traffic, you know, 1.5 or 5 hours away. I think it's just the cost of living. It's affordable. There's great public and private school options for people with kids. And there's tons of activities. I mean, we have the river. You know, we're kind of a food town where there's a lot of restaurants, breweries. There's an arts scene. There's museums. So there's really something for everyone in Richmond. And I think that's why people get attracted to it. It's not just one thing, but it's because it's two or three things or more for almost everyone due to the diversity of offerings.
Right. Richmond truly does have a lot to offer. And I think you touched upon this a little bit already, but how has the Richmond region market changed over the time that you've been in the real estate industry?
Yeah, I think kind of like we were talking about earlier, you know, I started in 2010 and, you know, to have a listing and tell your seller, hey, we've been on the market 45 days, but I have an offer for you and it's 85% of list price. I was their hero. Now, if I have a listing and we don't have 30 showings, they're like, what's wrong with our house? You know, so right. I think the biggest change is, you know, in 2010, it was an extreme buyer's market. There was 8 and 9 months of inventory. And now, you know, in certain pockets of Richmond, the inventory's 1 week. You know, I mean, houses come on the market, they get 20 offers and they're sold the first weekend. Back in 2010, if you were the buyer, you could ask for seller paid closing costs and a home warranty and all these other things. And in this market, you know, for a lot of the really competitive homes, the buyers are, you know, they're not asking for any of that. And they're also waiving their right to an inspection and doing escalation clauses. So I think Richmond was an undiscovered city. And then during COVID, it became discovered, is what it feels like. And that's the big difference. You know, relocation was only if some company was moving their headquarters here. It wasn't, people weren't relocating just because they could to Richmond. So.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail right on the head where you say Richmond's really been discovered over the past 5 years or so. Shifting our focus more towards your clients. We have seen from reports and research from the National Association of Realtors that the median homebuyer age has gone up. Are you seeing any generational trends among your clients? Are you seeing similar trends in your local markets, or is it sort of different in terms of median homebuyer age?
Yeah, I think maybe it's gone up a little bit, but but not to the extent you like see the national reports. And I think some of that comes back to, although Richmond has gotten a lot more expensive than it was 15 years ago, everything has gotten more expensive than it was 15 years ago. I've helped a number of people this year under the age of 30 buy homes, their first home. I've had a couple people in their early to mid 30s buy their first home. But again, I think it goes back to the jobs that are available in Richmond are great jobs. And the cost of living is still such that, you know, younger people can buy homes.
That's a really good point. And for our listeners, so another reason why Richmond's market is unique. Mm-hmm. So moving on to more current trends. Now we're currently in the spring market, almost towards the second half of it. What are some of the key features of this current spring market in Richmond? And how is it different from what you've seen in the past compared to the past few years? And even if you were looking at much farther back in the past?
You know, I think sometimes people who are thinking about selling see certain houses sell and how far they go over list price, and they think they can just put their house on the market and do the same thing. Although buyers will get very aggressive on certain houses, it all comes down to preparation and where you start the list price, because buyers do have high expectations. And if those expectations are met, they will, you know, push the envelope and get real aggressive to win that house. But now, as you said, we're starting to get into this second half of the spring market. We're starting to see certain houses in hot areas sit a little bit. And when you look at them, and this is my opinion, it's like they kind of cut some corners on preparing the home and they listed it too high. And it's kind of crazy because you'll see that these homes that are starting at lower prices are selling for more than what they're listed at sitting on the market. But I think what's happened is, you know, buyers are aware that they're probably going to get in a bidding war in these certain areas. And so they're like, well, if that's where we're starting, I don't want to get a bidding war at that point. Even though if they start at the lower number, they're going to go past that number. So that's been an interesting psychology this spring with buyers is, you know, buyers will do crazy things, but the house has to give them the reasons to do that. And then with trends, I mean, I've seen they've always kind of been hot buttons for buyers. But outdoor entertainment has really seemed to be the last couple years, and especially this spring, you know, big covered porches or, you know, patios with built-in, you know, chimneys or grilling areas. We've really seen buyers attracted to those. And then as always, you know, nice open kitchens. I would say bedrooms have become less. I see people, it's like, they're like, that's just where we sleep. Now they want a nice, you know, primary suite, but with regards to secondary bedrooms and even the primary bedroom, like they want a nice bathroom, but even the bedroom, it's, you know, I think it was probably in the early 2000s when they were building houses, these primary bedrooms would be cavernous almost. I mean, they were just massive. And now people are like, why do I need such a big bedroom? I'm just sleeping there. And you really see the emphasis on the kitchen and that outdoor living space. That's where my buyers, if they're buying a house, are talking about, that's where they're going to spend the money if they get the house to improve those areas.
So more of an emphasis on the common shared spaces.
Correct. For sure.
Gotcha. That's really helpful. And to the point that you talked about earlier, where people sort of get into the market thinking they're going to get a good number based on previous sales that have happened more recently, but that's not the case because, you know, it's a different property, it's a different house. I think what you said was so true and really emphasizes the importance of having a good strategy of working mm-hmm. with your realtor to come up with a good strategy to price your home and really make kind of set yourself up for success, right? So that's really helpful. Thank you for that. So What is the most important advice you can give to potential home buyers looking to buy soon? And I think you sort of touch on that a little bit as well. Mm-hmm. But what's something that you find yourself telling potential home buyers?
So I think for starters, like people who are thinking about buying a home, is making sure you're working with an agent who knows the market and what's going on. You know, I think a lot of times, you know, the general public thinks all realtors are the same. But doing this for almost 16 years, I mean, experience, especially in markets like this, makes a massive difference. Because sometimes, you know, you'll hear, the horror story of like, we've lost 7 or 8 houses. And then you inquire more about that. And it's like, oh, well, their agent didn't know how to help them win. And so they were making offers that were never going to win, but we're going through the emotions of thinking maybe we have a chance. So working with a realtor who's full time, you know, sells houses, especially in the area you're looking to buy, so they actually know what's going on in that market. And then two, it's, you know, being pre-approved right out of the gates, and ideally being completely underwritten, because there's a lot of cash offers out there. And if you're going to compete against a cash offer as someone getting a loan, you know, you want to be able, you want your agent to be able to say to the listing agent, hey, this person's fully verified. They're fully underwritten. You know, we're familiar with what their assets are and how strong of a buyer they are. And then, you know, maybe having your lender reach out to the listing agent, just so that listing agent has the peace of mind. And then I think too, as a buyer in this market, you just have to be flexible that maybe the area you thought you really wanted to live in, it's not an option for you, because a house, maybe your max is 500,000 and a house comes on the market that's 475 or 499, 950, but that's going to go 10% over. So again, I think that goes back to the realtor, working with a realtor who knows what's going on in the market you want. And there's also a realtor, you know, who is willing to tell you the tough news of like, hey, I know y'all wanted to live in this part of town, but unless you're going to be willing to buy a major fixer upper, like, we probably need to look somewhere else based on the price range.
That's really great advice. Thank you for that. So you mentioned you've been a realtor for almost 2 decades now. I know you said 16, but I'm rounding it up.
Yeah. Thank you.
What continues to drive you to be in this industry?
Yeah, it really is just the opportunity to sit down with people, whether they're buyers or sellers, learn about what their goals are and their reasons for buying or selling, and then helping them achieve those. I mean, I always tell my buyers that, you know, buying a home should be fun. And so I sit down with all my buyers and sellers and go through the process ahead of time. And so it should be fun. It should be exciting, whether you're buying your first home or your last home. That's where you're going to live and spend a majority of your time. So what really drives me is just, I get to meet new people, all kinds of people. I get to reconnect with old clients. I get to help friends and family. And I mean, even in recent, my parents closed on a new house last week, and it was new construction. And I mean, I'm not sure I've seen my parents that excited on the day of closing. I'm not sure I've seen them that excited in, I don't know how long. They were like 2 little kids, you know, they just couldn't believe that this dream had finally come to life. So, yeah, there's nothing more special than, you know, getting to the day of closing, whether it's a buyer or seller, and just sometimes it's relief, sometimes it's excitement, sometimes it's joy, you know, and getting to be a part of that.
That is great. Thank you so much for sharing that sweet story. I love that. But yeah, that was all the questions I had. Thank you again for your time, for being on this podcast, and for sharing your insights with our listeners who are realtors as well as their clients. So thanks for that.
You bet. Yeah. Thank you, Seja.
All right. That's it for this week. Thank you so much for joining us. Remember, you can continue to hear from our team through our quarterly By the Numbers webinars on social media and via the Research and Statistics page on the Virginia Realtors website. See you soon.